listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, September 8th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter. Let me turn your volume on.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here. And I don't know if anybody else on air heard this, but Michael has a new little friend, Ollie, who barked in the background just before we went to air. It was pretty cute. So
Everything he does is adorable.
Good to be here, Michael. I look forward to tonight's show.
Glad to have you. It's going to be a good one. Yeah. But yeah. Aren't they all just fantastic? Yeah. Each one a classic in its own right. I might be biased. Glad to have everybody joining us live, and thank you to those that can catch up with us in the archives. We're glad to have you. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 4. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight's topic. It's going to be an interesting one. We're going to kind of explore some interesting ideas and concepts. The topic is portals and Earth's energy conduits. And Dr. Hunter, I think you have a story that we were kind of touched on last week briefly.
Well, that's what brought us to this topic. Actually, I think we've talked about portals and energy vortexes and such in the past, but this is a bit of a different take on it. I had received a message, and the gist of the conversation was this fellow and some friends were talking about doing ceremonies and meditations and energy stuff to try to stop these negative energy conduits from releasing from the earth and portals or whatever that's affecting the weather and the earth and people. And it kind of took me aback, actually. I thought, I have to think about this before I answer. So my response was, I think the reason people are behaving the way they are is because people are people and their own stresses.
This is true.
And I've not heard of these negative portals kind of thing, or the earth giving off those negative portals. And so I said, I think if there are those negative conduits, I think it's people who kind of created them. You know, you're going to see what you want to see. And I don't mean to poo-poo the esoteric by any stretch. I'm just saying that I think it's perceptions. You know, there's always something in a perception. Now, do I believe in portals? Yes. Do I believe in different energy frequencies? Absolutely. Do I believe that there are ley lines and these significant intersections that create energy and magnetics, I believe that. However, my disclaimer is that science does not have what they call the capability of measuring these magnetics, if that makes sense. So they don't have wherever, let's say psychics and philosophers believe they are, there aren't these accurate scientific measurements yet to say, oh yeah, that's that.
Right.
So anyway, it's a ley lines. If let's go there first. It's kind of a mapping of the earth with all these sacred sites, whether you're mapping out pyramids, Bermuda triangles, and so there are these lines that kind of form grids on the earth. But again, science doesn't necessarily explore that. So we're into the metaphysics of it. So I'll just read this. Ley lines refer to straight alignments drawn between various historic structures and prominent landmarks. The idea was developed in early 20th century Europe, with ley line believers arguing that these alignments were recognized by ancient societies that deliberately erected structures along them. I go for that, Michael.
Yeah.
I'm into that. I think that there are structures built in certain areas for a reason, and they do form their own kind of energy movements, you will.
You know what they say, it's all location, location, location.
But it is so, yeah.
I would say that different places have a different kind of energy, a different vibe. Mm-hmm. And everybody can feel it. The only debate is, does it come from, the energy off these ley lines, which I would tend to agree with you. I would think that would, be something that I could, it has a certain logic to it, or it could be the energy that we put into it based on, certain just visual and auditory and, factors and things like that. We kind of make an impression of an area. But no, I think that there is something to that. There is different energies that are put off by, you can just feel it when you go to these places, the weight of them, the history of it. I will say that I grew up in the Black Hills of South Dakota, which is a sacred place to the Lakota, and I absolutely believe it's sacred. It's beautiful. It's, it is a wondrous place, and it is in many ways holy, insofar as it's just a divine spot of, these mountains that kind of stick out of this, the Great Plains, full of forests and life, and it's just a wondrous thing. I think places like that have a certain kind of energy. Absolutely.
Well, I think that we have to, here's a psychological approach, I think, first of all. If I travel to New York, it's a very different energy there than if I go to Toronto or if I go to Chicago or if I go to any other. So I'm comparing large metropolitan cities, one with the other. Each would have its own frequency, but it's largely the people that create that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, are there structures, are there, layouts of the city that can contribute? Sure. But again, it's the psychology of the place that creates that energy, the psyche, the psychographics of it. However, now we talk about virgin land, so to speak, that is, that, like you say, in the Black Hills, untouched, nature has its own energy. Now, the thing is, people can mess with that.
Oh, absolutely.
There's Sedona is well known. Sedona, Arizona is well known for its vortexes and energy spots. And we can talk about that in a minute later. But there is a place in central Alberta, Canada, that apparently has an equal vortex kind of energy to that of Sedona. So it's, again, this intersection of the ley line.
I didn't catch that. Where is the
Central
correlation?
Alberta. Well, in central Alberta, word has it, among, all the psychics and energy people and ley line drawers and whomever, that the energy there of the earth is filled with all these vortexes with energies equal to that of Sedona. But if you drive through this place, it is Bible Belt. Like, there are churches everywhere, little towns, you know. You really have to peel back that layer, you know, peel back those layers of the psychologies and that the people energy to really get under that feeling of the land. Yes, it's beautiful, but it feels yucky with those people.
Well, so, I would say that it's a little bit of give and take, right? The people affect the energy of the land. The energy of the land affects the energy of the people. It's a definitely a back and forth. And I would say that people can respond to the energies of a place in different ways. You know, you see a lot of churches and, you know, there's kind of some slack. You know, there might be a lot of good people in there, good folk that just have, you know.
Well, they have
beliefs that, of course, we find to be the
goal. Then my argument, but equal and opposite, as you said, Michael, and in that, you know, cooperative kind of energy work, you go to Sedona and there's a lot of wonderful people who go there and they're real searchers and, you know, looking for the metaphysics of life and understanding. So it attracts a certain kind of psyche, unlike, you know, a Christian Bible Belt in Alberta, Canada.
This is true.
It's a more a mystical energy. So do people with that hopefulness and the curiosity contribute to the energy of those vortexes? See, that has to be a consideration.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that we pick up on it as a natural response as being humans. It's one of the things that we subtly pick up on is the, you know, kind of resonance of the area, the energy that a people, a, you know, group, a civilization even is putting out. And I think that energy is one of the keys to our navigating the, you know, various human tribes, which unfortunately are of a bygone era, but they're still here for a little while longer anyway.
Yep.
But it, yeah, it is, well, not just other humans too, but, you know, one of the things, the vibes of a place.
It is.
It is something that resonates with us on an abstract level. It's beyond linguistics. You can't really put it into words. But you just know it in your soul. It's instinctual. It's that kind of, it's that place that thought originates.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to kind of shift over for a second and tell you another story, Michael, that would lend to, and I didn't want to get into it with the individual who wrote me the message about negative conduits, but a story that quite a number of years ago, somebody had asked if I would go and cleanse this home. A lot of trippy things were happening there, negativity and stuff, and would I do that? I don't like to do that kind of work. I prefer to empower people that they can do their own work, you know, and because I don't want to be a hop house to house and blessing thing, you know. But I did. I finally, after her fourth phone call, I agreed to go over, and I found a wall in her basement that, oh my, whoa, that was energy. And it was a very negative energy. So as I did a meditation, I tuned in. Oh, on the other side of the wall, I could feel residual soul energy. So, you know, I kind of did prayers for it and, you know, did my thing, and I taught her how to do it and just kind of closed that off, which would be in line with the one who messaged me to saying there are these negative conduits. But what I tuned into, and I wasn't prepared to talk about at the time, is her house is built on a section of land that had been an old residential school. And I knew there were a lot of unhappily buried bodies on that ground.
Well, I was going to almost jokingly say an Indian graveyard, but
no joke. And it was
probably a lot of indigenous people that got sent to those schools too.
Exactly. So this particular place was on the Poundmaker Reserve, and it was only a couple of miles from a, you know, this other big structure and a healing center. And I realized, oh, this whole subdivision was built on this other ground. And that can be interpreted by some people as saying, well, there's a negative conduit there. and we have to close that off. But I'm saying there's a lot of unhappy souls there that just want to be acknowledged. And that's my opinion. Mm-hmm. So again, it's the view that we have. Does the earth naturally create these negative energy things? I don't, that's not my take on it.
Yeah. I mean, every place has its own, you know, charms. It has its own wonders, its own drawbacks. You know, of course, there are places that are very inhospitable to humans, and those places naturally have a negative connotation to us. But we also have to remember that those places have an entirely different energy to the life that lives there, that finds it home. It's all a matter of perspective, like you said earlier.
Well, and I think that's just, we humanize a lot of things in ways that aren't deserving. So is it negative? No. I think it's on the varying scale of, and we have to think, positive and positive equals positive, negative and positive equals positive, negative and negative, well, we know where that goes. But to me, there is not much sense in looking at negative, negative to the earth and how it formulates. We're just humanizing our view of it. So on a scale of how energy flows, there's varying levels of frequencies. And that's what brings me to this, all these primary vortexes in Sedona, for instance. And I mentioned last week about the airport. Sedona Airport has a vortex area that they say is masculine. Now, I've been there a few times just to, you know, be neutral. And how do you feel? Well, it's a very active energy. The trees are twisted differently. It's just the whole feeling. And you start to feel a little anxious. The anxious is you want to get up and do something, you know, because it's active energy versus going to, you know, a different one with running water and, you know, all these wonderful feminine sounds and frequencies that makes you just want to sit and meditate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I know you're saying that masculine energy gets a raw deal. All the angry, anxious things are masculine energy. All the wonderful, awesome things are feminine. That's fine. I get it. It's no biggie.
I'm just saying. You know, it's just the varying frequencies,
I mean,
and how it makes you feel.
Who wants to be in a creepy forest with twisted branches? Everybody wants to be by the babbling brook.
Well, it has twisted branches too, differently. So that's what I'm saying. I think that we have to be very careful. I think there's a lot of things, and my disclaimer is there's so much we do not know. There are so many things that are not discovered, not revealed. So, and I will say this, I won't reveal the location, but up in the Rocky Mountains, I have been to a place, I've been shown by indigenous people, three pyramids under the ground amidst the mountains, that you can, if you're walking on top of it, you can see for about a mile that there are these grassy points out of the earth. And I was told there's pyramids under there, and they don't tell anybody. And because they don't want archaeologists and all these people coming digging up mountains for all these pyramids. But now they're discovering a lot more in South America. Oh, you know, this kind of sonic radar and these other things are detecting hidden cities, hidden stuff, and the same in the Middle East. They're finding more. And it's, we've just begun to understand or even uncover what, you know, what this journey is that human beings have taken on this earth and what brings us to here. Mm-hmm. But again, everything that we look at is interpreted through our eyes today.
That's true. And
so just being careful there.
Well, we all have to be mindful of our perspective. And we have to be humble in knowing that there are other perspectives out there. So we have to be willing to accept that we can be wrong about something, too. And that's kind of the thing. If you know, people that are strictly materialist, there's a certain arrogance to it because there are layers to existence that we cannot and may never comprehend in this form, in this life at least. Who knows what will be coming after? But and I think there's a lot of intuitive people that have some interesting ideas and educated guidance on it. But at the same time, I reserve the right to be skeptical. And I think a lot of things might be true. I hope a lot of things are true. If I had to roll the dice, I'd bet on it, but I can't bring myself to say that it is true beyond a shadow of a doubt, because there's so many possibilities to life. So many. But I do lean towards it. I do, I am open to it. And I am excited to see where our knowledge as a species will take us. You know, what will the bounds of our knowledge be 1,000 years from now with the rate of acceleration? Mm-hmm. You know, the broader the spectrum of knowledge, the quicker the accumulation of knowledge, because you find that many things intersect, many things correlate. And I think there's an energy buildup to that too. We're talking about the, you know, Earth's energy conduits, I know, is one of the main topics, but let's talk about the energy that builds up in a human society and in our kind of global society. Mm. We're accelerating this technological development. And who knows what, well, frankly, I know this is kind of a cliche, what wonders and what terrors that will bring in the years and centuries to come. But it kind of, it gets me hopeful that one day we may be able to measure these things that we can't. Things like perhaps ley lines. Things like the Earth's energy. Why are these, you know, sites? And by the way, Dr. Hunter, I'm going to turn the recording off. Just tell me, you know, privately. Nobody else can hear us. So where are these pyramids in the Rocky Mountains?
Cute.
Nobody will know.
No, of course, because I won't say.
Fine.
But, you know, Dr. Stephen has just mentioned a little story in the chat, if I may. Mm-hmm. He recently went to a client's house to do some energy work, and when he sat in her sofa, he asked the client if she wanted the portal on her living room wall open or closed, and she was quite surprised by the question. But you can feel that, and a lot of people don't know, and especially if a wall is underground, because the ground has energy, residual energy. And just, you know, just if I can, like, sidebar, anybody who'd like a card tonight, please feel free to put your name in the chat. Just thought I'd put that in there. But one of the things that the old indigenous people in my culture, Scandinavian and the Celts, and it goes to all kinds of tribes around the world, is stake out with a rope where you'd like to build your house or your property. Run a rope around it, those four corners. And if it's okay for 24 hours, you can build there. If one of the ropes is down, one of the stakes is over, you might need to move over a few feet, you know, because it's just how that, works for a lot of people. I'm just sharing.
Oh, interesting. I wonder, but what if a random dog just came by and just, you know, kicked it over for no good reason and then moved on? Is that the universe saying that it's not the right spot, or is it just random chance? But then again,
well, I guess you can just be as superstitious as you want to be, Michael.
And that varies from day to day, to be honest. But
I would move it over. I think that if it's kind of like, you know, what is it, dowsing for water, or, you know, it's what's in the energy of that earth. I think that there are other activities that we can watch for as far as the energy and what the residual is saying to us. Not everybody knows how to do that. And I think people building these, you know, big mass, you know, subdivisions aren't really caring about that. I'm just saying that if you have the opportunity to rope it out and do it the old-fashioned way, it might be a benefit. But who's to say it's not just superstition?
Well, I think that's kind of the interesting thing about it. But also,
I like the mystery myself.
Oh, I know. The mystery is wonderful. You know, it's the most beautiful thing there is to experience. But it's, yeah, I'll just say this, talking about energy and ley lines and things, I think it's very impossible. I think the layout of the pyramids has always been very interesting, how it aligns with the stars. Is it because of the ancients' extensive knowledge of astronomy, or is it because they could pick up on these energies and ley lines? Is there knowledge that was lost to history because there was no written record? How is it that people were able to find out such things without having a written record, with just oral traditions? And here's another thing. Has anybody ever played the telephone game? You remember that, where you whisper something to one person, they whisper to another and another and another, and you get back to the end of the line and you get the message and it's completely different? How do we know that that hasn't happened to the many stories that we've passed down? And what elements of those stories are true? That's kind of a huge aside, but, you know,
Michael,
when we talk
about... It could have been the Starship Enterprise being back in time.
Well, that's my
sharing,
take.
Sharing, you know, interrupting the evolution, sharing technology. You don't know how advanced past civilizations were.
That's the thing. Well, and also the sheer scope of time. Yeah. You know, a lot of things can be lost to that. Interesting stuff, and I think that,
yes,
you know, one day I hope that we have the ability to understand in a more comprehensive, and I mean just have the tools, have the scientific knowledge, the expertise to be able to measure these energies, these mm-hmm. kind of the additional layers, the extra dimensional properties of life. It'd
well,
be an exciting
that.
Time. It's going to be an exciting time. It is now,
yeah.
too.
Science is, I think science can do a lot more than is available to the general public, so we'll see that as it evolves too.
Yeah, it's going to take time, and unfortunately it'll probably be on, the true understanding of it is, I think, probably beyond our lifetimes. But then again, maybe we'll reincarnate into the right time and see it in the next round. Well, here's open.
Yeah.
But it's been an interesting discussion. I think it's coming to that time.
It is, Michael. You have the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards at your fingertips, and I have tarot here, fanned out. And we have some names already popping up in our chat. So shall we see what's going on for people, if there's any little messages?
Absolutely. So we have Jamil up first, and a happy birthday to Jamil. It's his birthday
happy
today.
Happy birthday.
So glad to have you with us. And let's see your birthday card. Now remember, no pressure. This is going to dictate the next year of your life, so we'll see. All right, we have number 19, Invoke the Counselor Within. Let's see.
Good.
Let's see. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you. All right, I hope that connects.
Well, in support of that, Jamil, I have the Eight of Diamonds, which is the Eight of Pentacles. And a lot of people interpret that as the apprenticeship to life, like learning as you grow and learning as you're, you know, living and continued education. And so it's really about, I think this message is really, what do you want to do, counseling yourself, living to your true self, and how do you want to evolve, what do you want to learn, what do you want to do from here? Your birthday is the perfect time to do a little meditation and project for the coming year of what you'd like to achieve or the energy you want to get going. The first 52 days after the birthday is excellent for public relations, promoting yourself. You know, it just the energy shifts and it's a good time. So I say this is a really good support energy speaking to you right now, and invoking the counselor within and the Eight of Diamonds or Eight of Pentacles is that continued learning and practicing what you're learning into your life. So it's a good one.
All right. Very nice. Good birthday message.
Yep.
All right. We have Ronnie up next. And I have number 29, Pay It Forward. Good card. Definitely one of the foundations of this church.
It is.
Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
Well, this is really interesting, Ronnie, because I pulled the Five of Cups. To the Five of Hearts. To pay it forward, Five of Hearts wants to meditate a little bit, be heartfelt and selective. And it's like those two messages together is you might be pondering how you want to support somebody, help them out, giving to them without Again, you don't do for others what they can or should do for themselves. However, there's always a point when we can give a bit of a leg up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when would it be helpful? So you might be wondering, is this a good time to be helpful? Well, I always say ask, and always ask perhaps, what do you need? You know, asking somebody that and helping to pay it forward. So I don't know. I get an okay thing with that. I think that it's you're just being careful and selective, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's wise.
All right. I love it. All right. We have Dr. Kevin up next, and we have another birthday with us. Happy birthday, Dr. Kevin.
Really happy birthday.
All right.
September, babies rock, he says. Yep.
I've been partial to the July myself, Leo. It's best. It's the best science, whatever, though. It's fine. But, all right. Let's see, Dr. Kevin, I have number 11, awareness.
Hmm.
All right. Don't know if we pulled this one in a while. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
In support of that, Kevin, is the Four of Diamonds, Four of Pentacles in tarot language. Oh, you know, some people interpret that as the miserly card, what you're holding on to. I also expand that, you know, possible meaning to knowing when to share, knowing when to speak up, knowing when to. So the awareness is perhaps you have gleaned or have insights a little more than the people around you for the moment, but allowing other people to evolve, you know, at their own rate without interfering in people's evolution. So sometimes it's better to stay quiet or knowing when to speak up. That's my take on that. Now, it's also about taking inventory of your own life and the awareness of what do you have and what can you let go of? You know, what other things would you like to work toward? But I also, aside from the physical things, I want to say it's a little bit about knowledge too. So, you know, you're just taking inventory about that. That's good. That's a good one. Just kind of an affirmation to you.
All right.
Happy birthday.
Good birthday message. All right. I believe we have Dr. Edward next. And let's see. Wild card number two, and then some. Let's see. When you have reached your limits and you believe that you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch to your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
All right, Edward. That's kind of interesting to me. I pulled out two at the same time. You might be working through some issues in a relationship. I'm going to go there, okay? I'm just going to step out on a limb. And the and then some is knowing a little bit when somebody does actually need that extra attention or extra care. You know, and somebody's not thinking quite right or going through something stressful. And, you know, as much as we all want to be responsible for what we say, sometimes people say things they don't really mean or they're not in the right mind for that moment. So
yeah.
It's to take that into context. So my sense here is you being the wiser of the two and having that sensibility and rising into that somebody is doing some growing right now and perhaps even some healing. So, and you're a part of that. So the support factor. I hope that makes sense.
All right. Yeah. Let's see. And I believe we are card keeper Wendy next.
Oh, Wendy. Glad now, for everybody, if I can just say, especially in the archives, people who are listening, Wendy has just been through the wonderful Ida. and just had her power back. We're glad to have you back, Wendy.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of spotty in her power and her Wi-Fi, but she is safe. We're glad about that, and it's been quite the journey. So we've been thinking about you, Wendy.
We have. You were missed last week, and it's, yeah, very, you know, tough and scary stuff when you're going through a hurricane, especially with, you know, I know the power outages were horrendous going through that area. Just glad everybody's safe and glad you're with us. All right.
What do you got for Wendy, Michael?
Hey, perfect. I have wild card number 7, Hope.
Good.
Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Well, in support of that is the Queen of Wands. I love that. The Queen of Clubs is the overseer, that, again, that mother nurturer with a bit of wisdom and seeing a bigger picture. And in this case, I don't know, you've been through enough that you've had to hold on to your hope, Wendy. I mean, that's self-explanatory. But it also indicates to me that you might have had to take charge a few times when other people weren't necessarily doing their part or not knowing what to do. You know, stress, trauma, pressure, all people react differently. Mm. You're someone who can step up. And you might feel like you're a bit alone in that at times, but you're being called upon and you got this. And other people step up when they can, but not necessarily in a situation like you've been through. So you know, it's you being you and being noted for being that special woman who can get through this.
Well, I absolutely believe that, 100%. Yeah. All right. I think we have Audra next, if I'm not mistaken.
I think we do.
And Audra, such a pleasure to have you back with us. And let's see what we have tonight. Number 44, attitude and disposition. All right, let's see. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen. Good card. And Audra, I know that definitely you bring an agreeable disposition and an enthusiasm with you to the chat every week. We appreciate that, and you definitely spread that around. It's influencing others already.
Exactly. And I got the Six of Diamonds in support of that attitude, disposition, Audra. So I think that there might be something. I'm going to go in the work department, your career, your work, and, being that influencer there also. And I think what this is telling me is you're going to get recognized for that. I see a little bit of an advancement, maybe a promotion or, I don't know, something that gives you a little more income or a bonus here. I think you already have the responsibilities, but being the acknowledged for that and having the title to it. So I think there's something good coming your way. Financial. Good.
All right. Great message. Love to hear it. All right. And I think Dr. Jeff, so happy to have you with us tonight. Let's see. Another wild card. We have wild card number 3, blocks.
Okay.
Let's see. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve a purpose. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open. Dr. Jeff, hope that connects.
Well, the Hierophant, Jeff, in support of that, and I think you know where this is going, happen to know Jeff is going through some really actually positive, good changes, but the transition, you know, may not feel, you know, like it's going really smooth at times, so blocks would make sense in that way. Hierophant has to do with conformity, routines, the home, and again, sharing your life in a new way. Jeff is certainly got its adjustments, but you worked that out, and I think that even Michael felt that positive edge in that, you know, in that card for you, and I'm feeling it here. So it's you know, making some shifts, but it's getting there. So know when to just take a breath, know when to move forward, take a breath, move forward, you know, and just getting your house in order. So it'll come together, and I feel good about it.
Very nice. I'm glad to hear that the things are going well, and definitely picking up on that energy. So it's a good message. All right. And Dr. Hunter, have we missed anybody?
Not that I've seen. I'm so glad to see you. We've got a nice little crowd here tonight. Lots of activity in the chat. And I if anybody has been missed, please put your name in really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I hope I was watching.
I'm trying. The chat's going by pretty quick, and it keeps stamping me back. But all right, so what do you think? Let's brainstorm a little bit while we're waiting for people to throw their name in, if we have anybody left. Next week, should we explore the various paradoxes of life, or perhaps what is truth? Are you feeling anything?
Well, that's volumes. We've talked about certain things like that before, Michael, and we can go on and on and on about that. Oh, Adriana says me.
All right.
Me. So you had an intuition, Michael.
All right. Let's see what we have for Adriana.
Yep.
All right. Fair enough. Wildcard number one, paradox.
Okay.
Speak of the devil. All right. Wildcard number one, paradox. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus, new perspectives are discovered.
Well, and in support of that is the Two of Spades. I know that sounds like, ooh, negative card, but it's not. I like the Two of Spades. I call it one of the back cards. And what that means is making a decision, but it's got to be completely on your intuition. So if you're feeling that edge or a challenge at the moment or things aren't quite right, what does your intuition and your gut say? No, not your psychology, not your hopefulness, not other things. It's following your intuition. So the paradox, as Michael said, it's not always what we think it is, but it's always how we interpret it. So to get, I always say there's little flags in everything, you know, little brush strokes of energy that tell us the truth and things. Michael, you know, you're talking the word truth. But that Two of Spades is saying sit quietly, ward off the negativity for a second, blow that all away, sit with yourself and ask, okay, what is my feeling about this? What's my senses say? What does my intuition say about some decisions I need to make? That's my feeling on that, Adriana. I hope that makes sense.
Interesting. All right. I think that's everyone. Let's see. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and say we do have one more person, Dr. Rick. Dr. Rick's listening in a different chat.
Okay, Rick.
Just happened to catch the chat through our broadcast service here. So let's see. One more for the night. Let's see what
we
have. All right. I have wild card number eight, freedom. It's a wild card kind of night. Wild card number eight, freedom. Let's see. Okay. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Whoa, Rick, you got the magician, a major arcana in support of freedom. I would say you're undergoing a kind of a spiritual intuitive shift. That's my guess. Or intuition, as I put it. But alchemy, thinking of taking situations and making the positive about it. And something I want to say here about Rick. You may not be as tied down as you think. So if you feel like you're anchored, you feel like things, you know, I mean, I understand priorities and responsibilities, but they feel like you might have a false anchor into something, that you can pull that anchor up and know that you can transform other energies in your life to move forward. I hope I didn't go too far out on the limb for that on that for you, Rick, but this is a really powerful message for you. Freedom and the magician. You got this. So pull up that anchor and go for it. That's my advice.
All right, good message.
Yeah.
All right.
Hope we don't get in trouble for that. And if you make any money, I'd like a commission.
Yeah, there you go.
Kidding.
I hope we don't get in trouble for anything. Yeah, that's my take. But
yeah.
All right. So I guess that kind of brings our discussion to a close for tonight. We're going to think about something interesting for next week, something that's going to be provocative and engaging. And we hope that you can join us. Any last thoughts before we wrap up, Dr. Hunter?
No, I've enjoyed the conversation tonight. I think that we do have to, whenever we're looking at these subjects or, you know, looking at metaphysics or spiritual movements, we have to be sensible about it. I am the first one to say about intuition, I totally am behind it. Reincarnation, you know, are there spirits and ghosts? Yes. But again, we can tend to read too much into things. So that's why the sensibility, I like to take that approach. And I think that, you know, oh, Wendy wants a time travel topic.
You don't have to twist my arm. All right, we're going to go Doc Brown on this, and we're going to talk time travel next week.
All right, we will. I love that. Thanks, Wendy. So I'm just saying, have some sensibility to things, folks, and just know that when it comes to life, the bottom line is it is what we believe it to be, and it is what we create it to be. Yes, we're at the mercy often of navigating all this, you know, stuff, but attitude is a big factor. So
all right.
That's what I have to say about it.
Well, couldn't say it any better. I think that, I think that I'm just grateful that we get to come together each week and get to talk about these interesting ideas, these just fascinating topics. We explore some of the great questions of our time. And we're looking forward to having you join us next week. And we continue to explore and engage our curiosity. But until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.